array of creation. On the new painting that appeared in the temple of the Keeper of Knowledge, against the background of the night sky shining with stars, a triangle rose up, the whole space of which was divided into six tiers. One could look at this picture for a long time to see all the details and try to make sense of them. That was exactly what the disciples were doing while waiting for the wise man. At the very top of the triangle was the Generalissimo in a ceremonial garment, and next to him was the inscription, "One Law, Absolute," and another strange name, Pralaitsarya. A glance down to the tier below revealed three generals, as well as the inscriptions, "Three Laws, All Worlds, and Buagiriya." Another tier below were the colonels. There were already six of them, and the inscription next to them read, "The Six Laws of Galactica and Orilna." Going even lower, one could see the 12 Laws of the Sun. At this level were the senior NCOs and lieutenants, also labeled Helionia. Even lower down were the junior NCOs with the inscription 24 Laws, Planets, followed by 48 Laws of Earth. On this earthly tier were the rank and file soldiers. The lowest tier, at the base of the triangle, depicted a man in a hospital bed, a criminal behind bars, a megalomaniacal patient in a straitjacket. 96 Laws of the Moon, the inscription read. It was obvious from the faces of the students that they had not yet encountered such knowledge, so they had even more questions than usual, which meant that the conversation with the sage promised to be especially intense. The keeper appeared at the door just at the moment when the rays of the sunrise penetrated into the temple through the wide panoramic windows, which caused billions of luminous particles to shimmer in the air, carrying with them the energy of light. In his traditional long robe, the sage seemed to float above the floor, barely touching the ground with his feet. He came up and greeted all those gathered and looked at them with warmth, love, and unconditional acceptance. From this look, the faces of the disciples lit up and their eyes lit up with inspiration. They were ready to actively listen, to ask questions, to let the knowledge pass through them, and to come to important realizations. A student in her 30s came forward with long, honey-colored hair and clear, light green eyes that shone with intelligence and insight.
"Great teacher,"
she respectfully addressed the sage.
"Please explain the meaning of the new picture. We understood that it is about the global universal laws, which influence a human being. But how do we feel this influence?"
"Everything in the universe only seems chaotic. In fact, everything in it is subordinated to a strict hierarchy, to a certain order. The universe itself came into being after the Big Bang. But it was actually a controlled explosion. It was also subject to the laws operating in the world."
"But how is that possible?"
the student asked in astonishment, stepping forward.
"How can an explosion be controlled?"
"Helen, this is a very complex subject. It is difficult for a human being to grasp with his mind the levels and laws that operate beyond our planet, even beyond the solar system, beyond our galaxy,"
answered the sage with a soft smile, and, having made a meaningful pause, continued.
"Imagine we planted a seed and set up a camera to film it sprouting. That would take decades to film. But then we'd put it on fast forward and watch what happened to that seed in 2 seconds. And now we will see how the grain explodes, bursts, and a sprout appears from it. And this sprout one day turns into a huge tree. From it, branches grow, stretch out, leaves unfold, and new sprouts appear in different directions. And it seems that all this goes very quickly, that it is chaotic and uncontrolled. But it really isn't. In fact, each branch grows strictly in a certain direction, which is determined by light and many other factors."
"Is it the same with the Big Bang?"
clarified the woman, turning to listen.
"Yes. Everything in the universe is constantly in motion. Everything is moving. Light rays are coming. Asteroid fragments are flying. Planets are moving in their orbits around the stars. And there is a system in all this. All this is controlled by different laws of the universe. And in order that these laws can be fulfilled, there is a hierarchy on the scale of the universe. That's the hierarchy we're going to talk about today.
The sage pointed with his hand to the picture, drawing the student's attention to the fact that the triangle was depicted against the background of the starry sky, where one could see the moon, the earth, the planets of the solar system, the Milky Way galaxy, and other galaxies.
Here is the ray of creation,
the master continued to say.
It comes from the absolute, from God, and it goes through several levels. To make it easier to understand, I will tell you first about the planets. Each of them is a living being.
The keeper paused again to gauge the reaction of the students. In their eyes appeared incomprehension and thirst for knowledge, a great desire to understand.
A living being?
Helen said, somewhat confused.
The whole planet?
Yes,
answered the sage with a transparent smile.
But these beings are so much bigger than man, and so much more developed that they are gods for man,
continued the sage.
They decide his destiny.
Teacher, is that why people have polytheism?
Helen said emotionally, amazed at the assumption she had made.
Because people considered every planet as God?
Yes, that's right,
he confirmed, having looked approvingly at the pupil.
Hence polytheism arose. Because for ordinary worldly people, it is the planets that are gods. Remember what they called gods in Greece, Rome, India?
Yes, and indeed, they were called by the names of the planets.
Helen marveled.
Venus, Mercury, Mars. So this is not a coincidence?
Not coincidence,
answered the sage unequivocally.
The priests knew that it was the planets that governed life on Earth.
But the names of the gods are different in every culture,
the student said.
All nations have different names, but their essence is the same, as they are planets,
the sage readily explained.
The Romans have Jupiter, the Greeks have Zeus, the Hindus have Indra, and the Slavs have Perun. All these are different names of the same god thunderer. Therefore, polytheism is not the lack of knowledge about the unity of God, but on the contrary, more complete and true knowledge about the hierarchy of gods.
Having listened to the sage's explanations, a short, thin guy with thick, dark hair and fine features raised his hand.
And the sun?
He said, looking questioningly at the master.
It's a star, not a planet.
Nicholas, the sun is God for the planets. It is one step higher in the hierarchy.
The sage began to explain, again.
But for an ordinary person, its influence is not fully manifested. It is manifested as for an ordinary planet. That is why the sun in ancient times was also considered to be one of the planetary gods. And different people called it in the same different ways. Apollo, Helios, Surya, Yarilo.
So a person, at first, cannot comprehend the influence of the sun? Or are there exceptions?
Asked the same student.
Yes,
nodded the master.
The sun manifests its greater nature only for individuals who have separated themselves from the crowd, who have overcome the herd mentality, who have developed creativity. These are thinkers, artists, and rulers.
And what is God for spiritual people?
Nicholas asked and immediately received the keeper's answer.
It is the center of the galaxy, which for all suns is God. Truly spiritual people receive influence from there, from the center of Nashgalia or Ilna.
The sage pointed to the third tier of the triangle from the top, where it was written, Six Laws of Galactics.
So, in order to connect to Orilna, you need to practice a lot and develop spirituality,
Nicholas clarified, taking a step towards the teacher.
And what if spirituality is not yet well developed?
For weakly spiritual people, everything is mixed up,
answered the keeper of knowledge, choosing the right succinct words that would help to explain such complex phenomena and processes as simply as possible.
One part of them, during the prayer, is connected to Orilna. Another part, to Helionia. And the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, to planetary influences. And that is why there is a constant struggle of these parts in man.
Influences from the planets, from the sun, from the planet that influences the sun. Are they fighting among themselves? Do I understand correctly?
Aliona slightly turned her head to the side and froze, looking attentively at the sage and waiting for his answer.
Right.
He nodded.
And until the spiritual self develops and becomes stronger than the other selves, a man will be tossed from side to side like a ship in a storm and may crash on the reefs.
Is the connection to Orilna the limit of what a person can achieve?
Nicholas asked a new question.
No.
The sage shook his head negatively.
The connection to Orilna is not the limit of perfectioning. Above it is the center of all worlds, Buagiria.
The sage pointed at the painting again, drawing the student's attention to the level with the inscription, Three Laws. All Worlds.
Its influence is reached by the saints, the most spiritual people, who are very few on Earth.
And this level?
Helen asked and pointed to the top of the triangle with the inscription, One Law, Absolute.
Is this, then, God himself? Can a human being reach it?
Yes, it is the Absolute, the unmanifested God of the universe, the Pralaitzarya, the primordial void and infinite space, from which all the manifested world emerges,
said the sage, and there was a solemn note in his voice.
Only very few people can reach this level.
The unmanifested God?
Nicholas questioned with some surprise to make sure that he understood the words of the sage correctly.
So the influence of God does not reach our earth?
Not quite so,
he said, and began to explain in more detail.
The influence comes, but in a refracted form. For ordinary people, it is not direct, but passes through the whole hierarchy of gods. And one can feel God directly only in the state of samadhi, when one's earthly eye disappears, when one's face, created from the influences of planets, disappears.
So in his usual state, a person can feel God only in a distorted form?
Helen suggested. The sage nodded.
Yes. God's influence is distorted, and a person perceives it on the earthly level.
What does this have to do with generals, soldiers, the whole military hierarchy?
The student asked, drawing the keeper's attention to the painting.
It is an example, and it helps to better understand this whole system.
Explained the teacher.
God is like a generalissimo who commands the whole army. He gives orders to General Buagiria. He looks at the circumstances at the front and gives orders to the senior officer of Orilna. The latter passes the order to the junior officer of Helionia, according to what is happening on his section of the front. The junior officer, in turn, passes the order to the sergeants, i.e., the planets of the solar system, and they already bring it to the person according to those historical events that are currently taking place on the Earth. It can be wars, resettlement of peoples, or appearance of new civilizations. And of course, God's influence reaches people in a completely different way.
The disciples froze in place, listening to the sage so as not to miss a word. A sacred knowledge was now opening before them. It sounded so fantastic and was so detached from the usual reality that it required much more effort to let this knowledge through, to accept it, to penetrate into its very essence. One of the students, a brown-eyed young woman with swarthy skin and a perfectly straight posture, raised her hand.
Teacher, can you compare this with the way a child perceives information, for example?
She asked a question and immediately began to explain her thought.
Young children will not understand anything if you start telling them about scientific forums and phenomena right away. For example, a child asks why the grass is green. and then you can start talking about chlorophyll and the structure of plant cells. But the child cannot yet perceive this knowledge as it would do an adult, educated person. Therefore, children are told in a simplified way, as they can understand and perceive. And then children grow up, and it turns out that they are already able to understand more. Teenagers perceive even more, etc.
Yes, Catherine, it is a good analogy,
confirmed the keeper of knowledge.
An ordinary human being is also on the level of an infant, compared to the same planets. That is why he can perceive God's laws only indirectly, on his earthly level, where the 48th order of the laws operates.
Teacher, please tell me, what are these 48 laws that exist on Earth?
Catherine asked a new question.
And where are these laws prescribed? Is there any book on them?
The sage smiled like a loving father, who had heard a sincere question from his child about the order of the world.
No, the 48 laws do not mean that there are really 48 laws, and that they can be listed in order. People do not realize in any way that this is the order of the laws, and think they must be 96 or 48 in points. This is the order of the laws, which depends on the level we are on.
The Keeper of Knowledge nodded at the picture with the triangle and paused to find the most understandable words to explain this complicated topic.
In fact, there are only three laws or three forces: passive, active, and neutralizing.
Beloved teacher, what does it mean?
Catherine asked enthusiastically, before the sage went further in his explanations.
How do these forces manifest themselves?
Active and passive forces act on a person at every moment of time.
He readily began to explain.
The active force induces him to activity. For example, a man has decided to go jogging in the morning, and now he gets up in the morning and is about to get dressed. But at the same moment, the passive force acts on him and says, "You don't need to jog. It is better to lie down on the bed for another hour and sleep." And so the person starts to be tossed between these forces, starts to hesitate. He thinks, "What should I do? Should I run or should I sleep at this time?" It will be constantly fluctuating until the third force comes, the neutralizer. And this third force neutralizes one of the two forces that acted on the person, active or passive. In our example, it can be a sportsman friend with whom the person has agreed to run in the morning. He will, in this case, neutralize the passive force, and the person will no longer hesitate so much. He will know that he has promised his friend to run together, and this will tip the scales.
Thank you for the explanations,
Catherine said with sincere gratitude.
Now it is clear about these three forces, but I still don't fully understand about the level of the laws. If there are not 48 laws on Earth and they can't be listed point by point, then how should it be understood?
When these three forces overlap one after another in each world, then a different order of the laws is obtained. It is no longer just a triad of forces, but many such triads, and each triad subordinates us to its influence.
At that moment, a concentrated expression appeared on the faces of many students. They were trying to understand the words of the master, to pass them through themselves and penetrate into the very essence.
But in fact, all these are just variations of this one triad?
Inna asked, to make sure that she perceived the master's words correctly.
That's right. These are all the same forces, active, passive, and neutralizing. They're just amplified, overlapped one over another. And there are many such triads, so the influence of these three forces increases. You can see it clearly in the picture.
The sage took a few steps in the direction of the canvas hanging on the wall and pointed to the topmost point of the triangle.
Above all is the absolute. Then is the level of all worlds. Then is the level of our galaxy. A little lower is the level of the sun. The level of the planets of the solar system. The level of the earth. And the level of the moon. And at each level, the same three laws apply. But they are overlapped on each of the levels. Three laws are overlapped on the level All Worlds, where three laws of their own operate, and it turns out that there are six laws of the galaxy. Another order.
And how do we get 12 laws?
Inna inquired vividly.
Why exactly 12, 24, 48? Is there a regularity in it?
Of course there is.
The sage smiled and began to explain in detail.
The ray of creation comes out of the absolute, descends below, and passes through all these levels. Each lower level has its own three laws, and to them are added the laws that operate on all the higher levels. This is how 12 is obtained. To the three laws of the level All Worlds, six laws of the level Galaxy are added, and to them, three laws are also added, which act on the level of the Sun. 3 + 6 + 3 = 12 laws of the Sun. The same is at the next level. 24 laws of the planets are obtained in the following way. To the three laws of All Worlds, six laws of the level Galaxy are added. To them, 12 laws of the level Suns, and three laws which act on the planetary level itself are also added. 3 + 6 + 12 + 3 = 24 laws of the planets. The order of the laws on the next levels is calculated in the same way.
The sage finished speaking and directed his gaze at the students.
Who wants to try to make such a calculation for the Earth and the Moon?
Oh, now it makes sense.
The blonde-haired girl glowed.
48 laws of the Earth are as follows. 3 laws of All Worlds, plus 6 laws of the Galaxy, plus 12 laws of the Sun, plus 24 laws of the planets, and plus 3 more laws that operate on Earth. 3 + 6 + 12 + 24 + 3 = 48 laws of the Earth.
Inna, pleased with herself, looked at the sage expectantly.
Right?
Well done. You have understood everything correctly.
He said approvingly, and nodded in the direction of the raised hand, which belonged to Catherine. The student enthusiastically volunteered to do the same calculation for the moon level.
3 laws of All Worlds are overlapped on 6 laws of the Galaxy. Then the ray of creation passes below, and 12 laws of suns are added. Then 24 laws of the level of planets, 48 laws of the Earth. And to this is added the triad of laws that operate on the moon. In the end, it turns out to be 96, 3 + 6 + 12 + 24 + 48 + 3 = 96 laws of the moon.
All is correct,
confirmed the wise man.
Now we see that with each level, the order of the laws increases. It turns out that a person is pressed by all levels that are above him. This is manifested in more restrictions and fewer degrees of freedom.
Teacher, I think I'm beginning to understand,
Catherine said encouragingly, her eyes sparkling with light joy.
Though, it's really hard to imagine.
The Keeper of Knowledge nodded, confirming her words.
Yes, it is difficult for the human mind to comprehend it,
he replied measuredly, pointing his open hand at the image again.
To make it easier, we can remember the hierarchy of the army. At its top is the Generalissimo. He directs everything, gives orders to the generals. They receive the order, adapt it to the situation, and pass it on to the senior officers, and the senior officers add something else to adapt the order to the junior officers. They also add something else to what the general and senior officers have told them. And then it comes to the ordinary soldier who is a new recruit. And it turns out that all these levels of laws are imposed on him, starting from the general and ending with junior officers.
And it turns out that the ordinary soldier is the most unfree in this structure, right?
Nicholas looked questioningly at the sage.
That's why there are more conditions in his life, which he must fulfill. I mean, these laws restrict him. He can't lie down and get up when he wants. He can't choose what he wants to do, and there is a rest and rise, and the whole schedule of life of the day is planned. If you don't obey them, you will be punished immediately. The same junior officers can feel freer, and a general even more so. Am I right?
Well done.
The Keeper of Knowledge smiled approvingly.
You have understood the essence very precisely. The greater the order of the laws is on a man, the more unfree he is.
When the Keeper of Knowledge had finished, A young woman raised her hand. Her hair was silver with gray. Her skin bore the mark of age in the form of wrinkles, but her posture was remarkably straight, and her eyes, though faded, were deep and attentive. A golden Orthodox cross on a thin chain glistened around the woman's neck.
Wise one, in Christianity there is a postulate of the Most Holy Trinity. It means that God is one in essence, but a trinity in persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so, when you started talking about the three universal laws that are at the basis of everything, I wondered if the power of the Holy Trinity could somehow be related to these three powers of the universe.
She asked, and her voice sounded surprisingly young, showing the student's irrepressible energy.
It is very good that you noticed it, Antonia,
answered the sage.
I have already said that gods in different cultures, in different traditions and religions, are compared to each other. They are the same gods, which are called differently. For example, the same Orthodox Holy Trinity in Indian religion is three gods, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. In essence, the Holy Trinity is three powers characterized as consciousness, will, and bliss. But these gods' laws are very different from human laws, because we have the 48th order of laws, and these three powers operate on the level of the absolute, several orders of magnitude higher, at the level of the generals, if we look at the image.
Great one. What is the difference? Please explain it in detail.
The disciple asked.
How do consciousness, will, and bliss manifest themselves at the highest level?
The divine consciousness covers the whole universe.
The keeper readily began to explain.
It is not comparable to human consciousness. It is difficult for the human mind to even imagine it, because it is infinite and all-encompassing. As for the divine will, it creates at once in every point of space. And divine love, or bliss, embraces all living beings. Will, consciousness, bliss are something global, incredible, all-pervasive.
Thank you for the explanations, Master,
Antonia said gratefully.
Tell me, how do consciousness, will, and bliss transform at different levels and form new laws?
The following laws of our world are the six laws derived from the Holy Trinity. These are the laws of spiritual development, which personify the higher angels or powers that govern evolution, and a person should try to get under the influence of these forces. For us, they are expressed in such spiritual qualities as truthfulness, faith, aspiration, kindness, peace, patience. All this helps us in our development.
So the Law of Six can be described and expressed in such sublime states.
Antonia clarified, looking questioningly at the sage.
That's right.
He confirmed.
These are the laws of spiritual development. That is, a person who follows the spiritual path must necessarily master these six qualities, learn to stay in these sublime states, cultivate them in himself. Otherwise, there will be no spiritual development.
That is, can all this be correlated with the whole Christian hierarchy? In Orthodoxy, there is also God, then the Blessed Trinity goes lower, and even lower, angels and archangels.
Every tradition reflects the universal law in its own way,
commented the Keeper of Knowledge.
Each religion gives people some images that they understand. For example, gods, angels, saints. At the same time, the universal law itself does not disappear. It is immutable.
Antonia's face lit up with a sudden illumination.
So, what you are telling us now is the true, pure knowledge, which is free from all these images, from all these cultural influences?
She said with awe.
Yes, knowledge without impurities, such as it is.
Smiled the sage and, pausing, added.
And so when a man begins to live according to the three supreme laws of God, mastering the will, consciousness, bliss, similar to the divine, he becomes a saint of a very high level. If one lives according to the six laws, mastering these supreme qualities, truthfulness, faith, kindness, aspiration, peace, and patience, one goes to the level of angels. Therefore, one should strive to cultivate these treasures of the soul in oneself.
Teacher, tell us about these six qualities,
asked Nicholas, who had been concentrating on the spiritual conversation all this time.
Truthfulness is honesty.
The keeper of knowledge began to explain.
First of all, honesty with oneself on the spiritual path. Faith is, first of all, faith in God and giving to Him. Aspiration is an inner fire that is in every person. It is activity, irrepressibility.
Great Master, I have such a question.
Antonia spoke again.
In the Orthodox tradition, all saints are portrayed as suffering, soft, grieving. Very yin, in fact. You can't see that inner fire in them. They look so compliant or something. Why is that so?
It is a distortion and a consequence of church propaganda to make people more obedient,
replied the sage with calm certainty.
In reality, holy people were not so amorphous and docile. Let's remember even Christ. He is also painted as very yin and soft. But in him, of course, there was also this aspiration, activity, irrepressibility. In him, there was a bright inner fire. For example, it is described how Christ overturned tables and trays of peddlers who were selling in the temple, defiling him with their greed. But aspiration is not aggression at all. It includes activity to achieve goals, striving to develop, to move forward. It is a movement that is opposed to passivity, laziness, apathy.
And kindness, peace, and patience,
Antonia reminded.
How should they be properly understood?
Kindness is a person's desire to do good deeds, to live and act for the benefit of others,
explained the sage.
Peace is inner peace, a state of inner calm and peace. Patience is the ability to wait. Everything has its own time, and one should understand it. A person is often impatient, wants to get everything at once, demands something, and he usually has no patience. That is why we should try to develop patience and other qualities in ourselves. If we want to develop and follow the spiritual path, we can observe ourselves and make such self-diagnostics to see which of these qualities are developed in us and which are not developed yet. And so we will realize what we still need to work on and how far we are from the level of angels or the level of the six laws of the galaxy.
And beyond that, how are the next levels of the laws revealed?
The next 12 laws are the laws of the sun and the stars fixed relative to our Earth. They are expressed in the laws of stellar astrology, which are manifested in the influence of the sun and other stars on our Earth. 24 laws of planets are already all other laws of astrology, i.e. influence of planets on our life. We've already talked about it with you today. 3 laws of the Earth are added next. These are all possible manifestations of the gunas in all their manifestations.
That is, the 3 forces you spoke about, active, passive, and neutralizing, are tamas, rajas, and sattva.
Antonia clarified.
Yes.
Confirmed the sage.
Tamas is earthly gravity, inertia, friction, laziness. Rajas is heat, electricity, and all other kinds of energy. Physical, emotional, social activity. Sattva is all organizing and controlling forces, such as the laws of physics, chemistry, social laws, instincts, laws of living nature, mental activity. This is precisely the 3rd force that helps us make the choice of action or inaction. Even the world of spirits, such as the spirits of the elements, can also be a 3rd force, that is, sattva, since it governs the actions of the elements.
But the 96 laws of the moon, what does that mean?
The petite blonde-haired girl asked, catching the sage's gaze.
This level is lower than our Earth. And if there are more laws, it means that there are more restrictions than a simple man? Or these laws do not apply on Earth at all, but only on the moon? What is the right way to understand it?
Inna. These laws operate on the Earth as well. At this level, there are people who have fallen under the power of even lower order of laws.
He began to explain thoroughly.
They are even more limited. It could be a disease that has made them bedridden. It could be some kind of trauma. It could be mental illness and being in an institution for the mentally ill. Maybe a prison, as it is depicted in the painting.
The sage smoothly moved his hand, pointing to the lowest tier of the canvas.
Here it is difficult for a man to find even the freedom he had before. He can't do what he wants. You can't even get out of bed if you have a broken leg, for example, or if you have paralysis, or some other serious illness. If you are in prison, you are also very limited. You can't even leave the cell. You can't go to work or study. You can't choose what to do, who to socialize with.
Great teacher, is the 96th order of the laws of the moon somehow connected with the forces of evil?
The girl asked a question, addressing the sage with great respect and awe.
That's right. The moon is connected with the forces of evil, destruction, Erlik, evil spirits, constraining and embarrassing circumstances, such as prison, severe illness, mental illness, hazing in the army, war, terrorism. These are all circumstances and conditions in which a person's freedom is violated and his or her capabilities are limited. In a person, these are identifications, negative emotions, ignorance, and lies.
It turns out that in order to get out from under the influence of the 96th order of the laws, you need to feel these influences in yourself?
Antonia asked again.
Yes. All these influences require studying and feeling them in oneself. And this is possible only through self-observation. When you see what influence you are under, it is already the first step to get out from under this influence.
Master, so is it the moon that restricts us the most?
Asked a young, thin student with reddish short hair and thick bangs falling on her forehead.
It turns out that a person goes to prison thanks to the moon and goes crazy and even gets sick. Is it so?
Radha, it is not the moon itself that affects us, but various influences and conditions,
replied the sage, choosing words that would allow to express the essence as succinctly and precisely as possible.
If a person falls ill or is imprisoned, he is affected by a greater number of laws, which make him bound and do not allow him to act freely. This is what is said here, and if such a number of laws act on a person, then he is no longer free, then it is more difficult for him to live.
Beloved teacher, so we should strive to get out from under the influence of these laws?
Inna asked.
Is it even possible?
The sage answered his disciple with a warm, transparent smile.
Our task is to realize how to get out from under the influence of as many of these laws as possible,
he said, looking meaningfully at the girl.
So that there are only three laws acting on us. That is, we must strive to rise to this level of generals.
And how to do it?
Inna looked inquisitively into the master's eyes.
So that only the laws of a general would apply to us?
If we use this army analogy, then we should try to become a general's assistant. And then we will immediately move higher and come under the influence of less order of laws. And we will live easier. We will have more freedom. Because there will be no more junior officers, no more senior officers, but only the general. And he has only three laws.
But it is not so easy to become an assistant of the general himself,
Catherine said, emotionally.
Not easy,
agreed the sage.
But it is possible to get out of the order of these laws. To do this, you need to set higher goals for yourself.
And higher goals are what kind of goals?
Asked the student.
They are goals that go beyond the usual range of human tasks. If we have simple goals, to sleep, to eat, to watch TV, to lie down, to rest on the sofa, then the 48th order of the laws will act on us.
Answered the keeper of knowledge.
When a person stops living only for himself, and starts thinking about how to help others, how to improve some processes, how to optimize something, then he already gets an opportunity to rise to another level. As soon as a person starts to show more initiative, as soon as he takes more responsibility, he gets more freedom.
A stocky, athletic guy with a broad face raised his hand.
What kind of responsibility is meant? For yourself, for your family, for other people? How does it work?
Max, responsibility can be in different spheres,
answered the sage and began to explain in more detail.
For example, let's take the office of a company. One person can sit in a junior position for 10 years without getting anywhere. But another person comes in and within a few months is already on the way to promotion.
When I was working in the office, I saw just such a thing.
Helen picked up on this emotionally.
One employee came to us and immediately started making suggestions to the boss about how to improve the work process, always showing initiative, coming up with some activity. And in a month, he promoted her to senior manager, while many people have been dreaming of promotion for years.
Yeah, that's what usually happens. Goals change. A person no longer thinks only about how quickly the working day could pass and how he could have a rest. A person begins to think more broadly and globally, begins to take on more responsibility. And as a result, there is more freedom.
But doesn't the new position bring more worries?
Catherine asked with genuine incomprehension.
It does.
The sage lifted the tips of his lips in a slight smile.
But a new position means a higher salary and more opportunities. For example, businessmen are always freer than ordinary employees. They can afford to fly to the other side of the world, visit many different places, plan their day as they see fit, and still manage to do everything. They are less restricted in money, which means they can afford to travel more, attend different events, meet different people, and get a variety of experiences.
And spiritually, how should it manifest itself?
The disciple asked.
How can we rise higher?
The first thing to do is to realize your position.
The sage answered without hesitation. He looked shrewdly at Helen, glanced at all the others gathered, and began to explain in detail.
If a person lives in the social world, he is subject to all sorts of forces and laws. There is no good in a crowd. In society, a man is most enslaved. And so when he wakes up, realizes his position, and begins to think, how can I get rid of the influence of society so that it does not make me a slave? So that it doesn't use me in senseless wars, doesn't use me as a cheap labor force. And then another question arises, why am I subject to this society?
The sage paused, inviting the students to consider the answer for themselves.
Maybe it's because of a false personality, which is formed by this very society,
Helen suggested.
Right.
Confirmed the master, sending warm, radiant energy to the student.
And so, due to this false personality, which is formed by society from early childhood, a person obeys its laws and becomes a victim of society. It sacrifices all its individuals.
So you have to get rid of the false personality and then you can get more freedom?
Catherine said with growing enthusiasm.
Exactly.
Agreed the sage.
If a person gets rid of the false personality in himself, does not identify with it, then society will not be able to sacrifice him.
He paused and, having once again looked at the students with an attentive gaze, continued.
Remember the story about the student who dreamed of becoming a paratrooper?
A muffled hum resounded among the assembled.
This is the one who had a false identity of a paratrooper formed? He thought that he would become cool and all the girls would run after him?
Max clarified.
Yes, about him.
The keeper of knowledge nodded.
He trained so hard. He parachuted. He did everything he could to get recruited as a paratrooper. Because he had already formed a false identity as a paratrooper under the influence of movies and public propaganda. He imagined how he was walking through the city in a blue beret and how girls literally fell at his feet. But as a result, society sacrificed him and he ended up in Afghanistan. He was almost killed there. He was wounded and contracted typhoid fever. And it all started with propaganda, with advertisements describing how good it was to be a paratrooper. He believed it, and this is where it led. He came back from Afghanistan, all sick, thin, with undermined health.
After listening to the sage's story, Nicholas raised his hand.
What happened to him afterwards? In the beginning, he was practicing and wanted to follow the spiritual path, right?
Yes, but even after Afghanistan, he did not return to them, because his relatives started to impose the program of family life on him. They told him how good it was to live in a family, how he would become a father there, how great it would be when he had children. And then another false personality was formed in him. The role of a family man.
Is family a bad thing?
Helen asked in surprise, throwing back her long hair.
It is not bad in itself, but it is bad when it happens unconsciously. When a person does not even realize whether he really needs it or not. He forms a false identity of a family man, and he acts in accordance with this role, not realizing that in reality, it is also just a program of society.
And in the end, he also became a victim of society?
Yes,
the keeper said with a certain amount of regret.
He got married, had a child, then another. And in the 90s, when the country was in a difficult situation, he went to work in the market to feed his family. Because there were no other options. And there he began to work around the clock in 40-degree frost. As a result, he wasted the rest of his health. And he did not have enough time to do meditation and attend classes. His relations with his wife were bad. They were constantly fighting. She was nagging him that he didn't earn enough. This is how a man became a victim of society's programs, fell under the influence of society's restrictive laws.
So we should get rid of false personalities, and then we will increase the level of freedom, right?
Catherine asked, as if summarizing what the sage had said.
That's right.
He nodded.
In order to get rid of social influence, one must eradicate false personality and develop one's essence. We have talked a lot about false personalities and essence. The essence is usually under higher influences. It has a lower order of laws.
The sage was silent for a few seconds, shifting his gaze from the painting to the students and back again.
Here, let's say cats and dogs. They don't have false personalities because they are subject to fewer laws.
So we should strive to live like cats and dogs?
Inna asked in surprise, staring at the Keeper of Knowledge with wide open, clear blue eyes. The sage smiled, seeing such a direct reaction.
Cats and dogs are freer than we are,
he said gravely.
And their lives are much easier. They don't have to go to work. They don't have to buy clothes and phones. They don't have to follow fashion. They don't have to pay a mortgage. They don't have to conform to society's patterns. They live a life of essence. Animals don't go to the army, for example.
But animals have their own worries, Nicholas remarked. For example, cats constantly bear offspring.
Yes, but have you ever seen a cat spend its entire life watching over its grown kittens? Has anyone ever seen a cat controlling her grown kittens, choosing a groom for them? Or have a cat carry around a drunken cat for the rest of its life? Just imagine that.
The sage looked at the students with a look of radiant mischief, and their faces lit up with smiles, and some of them laughed.
Yes, it's ridiculous to imagine,
said Radha, and her lips stretched involuntarily into a smile.
And people do it all the time,
reminded the Keeper of Knowledge.
That's why it's easier for animals. A cat gives birth to kittens. They grow up a little, and that's it. She immediately drives them away from her. She doesn't mess around with different Alphonses, alcoholics, domestic tyrants. She doesn't carry around some unworthy cat all her life. That's why the life of an essence is simpler and freer than that of people in society.
But living the life of an essence is not our main goal, is it?
Inna said half-questioningly. The sage shook his head negatively.
Of course not. More evolved beings are already separating from animal nature, because animal nature also has its negative aspects. For example, during the mating season, deer mutilate each other when they fight for the female, and the female has to constantly give birth to cubs and nurse them until they get stronger.
Do you mean that animals are sacrificed too?
Radha asked.
Yes, nature sacrifices animals because their raison d'être is reproduction. But if you go higher, all this becomes unnecessary. Man can do this if he develops and overcomes animal nature with its laws. Man rises even higher and already serves higher purposes.
Teacher, can I clarify about animals?
Inna asked.
It is not quite clear to me. On the one hand, according to the order of the laws, they are closer to God, because they are influenced by the 24th order of the laws, because they have no false personality. And on the other hand, we often hear from you that they are low, undeveloped souls. Still, are they closer to God or farther away?
Having listened attentively to the student's next question, the wise man began to elaborate.
Naturally, any animal is freer than a human being.
He spoke, interlacing his long, thin fingers.
Yes, fewer laws apply to them. Animals have no personality, no social organization to obey. But when it comes to the level of the soul, you have to look at it a little differently. The soul develops. At first, it is embodied in the simplest microorganisms, then in insects, in fish, birds, animals. Then it passes into a human being. And at first, the soul incarnates in a human being who finds it difficult to understand something, difficult to come to realization. And with each incarnation, the soul gets new and new experience. And the more developed a soul a person has, the easier it is for him to understand something and come to realization. Then the soul gradually approaches becoming an angel, a more holy, more spiritual being. This is how the evolution of the soul takes place.
So it turns out that animals are more free, but they have too low level of soul development to realize it?
Inna clarified.
Is that right?
That's right,
confirmed the teacher.
Of course, some amoeba may not feel unfreedom at all. It swims somewhere, something happens to it, but it does not realize whether it is free or not. A more developed creature, it already begins to see and distinguish between freedom and unfreedom, and it is already striving for more freedom, but it has a false personality which makes it more unfree. Here, on the example of the same student paratrooper, he went to Afghanistan because he formed a false personality, because the level of his soul was already developed enough for it. The same cat or dog would not go to Afghanistan. They would not have such desires. That is, the cat and the dog live a more natural, freer life. But their soul is not developed as much as a human's. A human gets into society, into such an environment where the soul can further develop and gain experience. Because at the animal level, there are few situations in which the soul can begin to reflect, to suffer, to think about its life, to be fascinated by something, to be disappointed, etc. And if these things are not there, then there is no material for the soul to develop further. You see?
The sage looked questioningly at Inna, then turned his gaze to the other disciples who were listening to him with utmost concentration and attention.
A song came to mind. On the road of disillusionment, I shall walk and chant it again,
the apprentice said as her eyes met the master's.
I think that's what it's about.
Yes, a good example with the song,
smiled the sage.
A man is always fascinated by something, and then he is disappointed and suffers. And only then he begins to think about the meaning of life, about everything that happens to him. And at this moment, the soul slowly begins to develop. Although in society a person is more unfree, but there is more material for development. But, on the other hand, In the same society, there are, for example, teachers, gurus, religions, from which one can get knowledge. That is, there are also higher influences in the same environment, and a developed soul begins to reach for these higher influences, and through them, it develops further along the path of the soul's evolution.
And if a person goes higher, what level is that?
Next comes the level of individuality. To rise to it, one must develop awareness.
The keeper of knowledge explained with calm confidence.
We have to develop our essence further, above the animal level. And then we will rise to higher influences and get out from under lower influences. Then we will be better off, more free.
Rada raised her hand again.
Master, have I understood correctly that since animals are freer than humans and live with essence, they are subject to the 24th order of the laws?
Yes, it is so.
The sage answered unequivocally.
Teacher, it turns out that the essence is the 24th order of the laws, and if the level of individuality is the next level after the essence, it is the 12th order of the laws?
The girl asked, concentrating on the image.
Yes, Rada, you have understood correctly.
The sage looked at his student approvingly. The girl shone, but immediately thought about it again, and it was obvious from her concentrated face that she was thinking hard.
And spirits? Beings without a physical body?
She gave out suddenly.
Are they subject to some order of the laws too? Is it also the 12th order, or maybe spirits can't be included here at all?
If there is no physical body, then there is no animal nature.
The keeper explained succinctly.
That means they already live above. But this does not apply to the lower spirits. For example, there are larvae who suck energy out of people. They also have an animal nature.
Teacher, does individuality develop when we live on the intellectual parts of the centers of our essence?
Max asked.
Yes, that's right.
Confirmed the wise man.
Man already lives consciously. He does not perform his actions mechanically or guided by momentary emotional impulses. He already looks at everything from the intellectual parts of the centers, sees how things are arranged, how things are done, begins to understand when false personalities are switched on in him, begins to feel his essence, learns to control himself.
Beloved teacher, where should one start and how to do it correctly?
Inna asked again.
First, we need to realize what limitations are acting on us, what laws of society are hindering us. All this can be done if we constantly observe ourselves, notice what influences we are under. And when we realize this, we can get out from under their influence. We can change our goals, take responsibility, and rise higher, so that we become better, so that fewer laws affect us, and we can reach the top of our development.
Inna nodded understandingly and immediately asked a new question.
Master, are elevated emotions an aid in getting out from under the influence of the 48th order of the laws?
When we are in sublime emotions, the absolute begins to act upon us. But if we experience negative emotions, if we are in low and low states, then we are affected by the 48th or even 96th order of the laws, and we become constrained. We cannot understand or do anything. These laws and restrictions come upon us and deprive us of our freedom.
Teacher, but you can get under the level of the absolute only when you have a high goal, like God himself? Is that so?
As I have already said, it is a person's goals that determine the level under which he stands.
The keeper smiled.
You have these goals at the highest level,
Antonia said with awe, and there was a note of admiration in her voice.
And people often think only about their food and shelter, about comfort. And that's why a person will only receive from everywhere. This is the lowest level. But if a person joins the high goal, lives the goal of the guru, food and everything necessary, it comes by itself and you don't even think about it. Is that how it works?
The student froze, waiting for the sage's answer.
Of course.
His lips touched again, a light, warm smile.
If we have a high goal, like the absolute, then we come closer to the absolute, and to being subject to the three laws only. And if we have low aims, then many conditions of the 48th order of laws come upon us, and all these things act upon us, and so it becomes harder and harder for us.
Teacher, thank you for your explanations.
The woman thanked.
I have another question. You said that the divine laws are consciousness, will, and love. Do I understand correctly that the will cannot be based on ego?
She asked, and after a few seconds of silence, having gathered her thoughts, she added,
in general, when I read that the absence of ego and resentment is a sign of a spiritual person, I was very struck and inspired at the same time.
When Antonina talked about it, her eyes sparkled with sincere enthusiasm.
I saw how differently different processes work.
Yes, you understand correctly,
replied the sage simply.
A high soul cannot have ego and resentment. Negative emotions are a sign of a low level of development of the soul. Why should a high soul suffer? It must be intelligent. It must understand. The more ego I cultivate, the more I will be offended that others do not recognize it, do not praise me, do not admire how good I am. An intelligent soul sees all this, and therefore there can be no ego in it.
So if a person acts on ego, it turns out that he acts not on the will?
Nicholas asked, who had been concentrating on the spiritual conversation all this time.
Will is what directs our attention,
said the master.
With the help of the will, we move our attention where we need. But ego always directs our attention in one direction, to our false identities, to our inflated egos. And we become more concerned about ourselves. And immediately there appear related problems. For example, bad health.
In such a case, we should use the will to fight against the ego. On the contrary,
Nicholas looked questioningly into the sage's eyes.
That's right. If we do not have the will, then resentment and ego can lead us, and we cannot do anything about it. Therefore, we should strive to raise our level. The higher the level is, the lesser order of laws acts on us. And on the earthly level, we are influenced by many things: false morals, patterns, bad habits, social stereotypes, programs of false personalities. As we become free from bad habits, from templates, from sick upbringing, we become more free. And less of these laws affect us, and it becomes easier and easier for us. And anything seems simple to us. What we could not do before, what we were afraid of, suddenly becomes so simple and pleasant. And all because we have thrown off the shackles of the laws of society. So the first thing we have to do is to see and realize how the habits have enslaved us, how the patterns have enslaved us, how the wrong upbringing has enslaved us. We have to realize that because of all this, we can do nothing, that we are bound hand and foot.
The sage finished his explanations and fell silent, looking at the students with warmth and unconditional love, waiting for their new questions. This time it was Nellie, an elegant, one might even say, graceful woman with deep-set small eyes that shone with insight and intelligence, who raised her hand.
Master, I realized that we must strive to stop identifying with false identities and become aware of our essence, to feel our centers of essence, instinctive, motor, sexual, emotional, intellectual, to understand how they work. And when we learn to do this easily, we come under the 24th order of the laws. And if you look at this ray of creation, the essence is at the level of the planets.
The woman paused in her reasoning and waved her hands questioningly.
So the essence is subordinate to the planets, to the aspects.
The planets create our essence,
the keeper explained, having listened attentively to the student's question.
That is, when a person is born, his cosmogram is formed. Each of the planets gives its energy, and this gives rise to the rudiment of essence. A person develops this rudiment during his life. But it happens if a person realizes it, if he makes efforts to fight against the influence of society and its programs. If we do not realize our essence, then it remains in a rudimentary state, and on the contrary, a false personality develops. And thus, a person falls under the influence of the 48th order of the laws.
Teacher, it turns out that the little child is also under the influence of the 24th order of the laws.
Helen asked, rejoining the dialogue.
Yes.
The sage confirmed with a nod.
Our essence has everything we need. Our essence contains a child's desires, his simple needs as a child, to move, to run, to jump, to explore the world and nature around him. But then he grows up. He has needs and desires imposed by society, advertising, propaganda, patterns of behavior. For example, a person believes that one should be equal to his neighbor in order to have what he has. My neighbor bought a car, so I need one too. The neighbor got married and had a child, so I should not lag behind. Your neighbor has a beautiful fence, but you don't have one, so you should envy him, be angry with him, resent him. These are the manifestations of false personality. If a person is essential, he does not see the sense of envying and imitating someone. He does something of his own. What he likes, what he is interested in, what gives him joy. And it turns out that the essential person lives freer and is freed from the imposed laws of society.
Helen looked at the keeper with gratitude.
Teacher, can I be more specific?
She said, and, after waiting for an approving gesture, continued.
Did I understand correctly the order of actions? First, we must free ourselves from the laws of society and from the false personality. And then we have to free ourselves from the planet's action too. That is, there is a negative influence of planets, isn't there? If we free ourselves from it, then the essence will also become more divine and not distorted.
Yes, Helen, that's right. Then we begin to develop awareness, to develop conscience, and then we become free from the influence of planets. Then we go to a higher level. We are closer to God, and less laws act on us. But until we achieve awareness, planets will continue to act on us, according to our cosmogram, which was formed at birth. And we will have to overcome this negative influence again and again.
The next question was asked by Radha. Catching the teacher's gaze, the girl came forward and spoke.
Wise one, you said that planets are living beings.
She began.
And ancient people called them gods. Jupiter, Mars, Venus. And who are the gods in Indian mythology? For example, Indra, Vayu, Agni. Where are they in the divine hierarchy? And what do they feed on? What emanations?
Radha, we were just talking about this at the beginning of our conversation.
The keeper remarked.
It means the same planets. Gods of planets, or elements. Agni is fire, Vayu is air. Indra is the same as Jupiter, or Zeus, the thunderer. Surya is the sun god.
Do I understand correctly that these planet gods have the task of preventing man from becoming wise and rising above their level?
Absolutely. Both planets and elemental spirits have this task. All of them are interested in the fact that everything on the earth goes on as it should, so that people do not become too wise and do not get out from under the influence of the laws of the planets.
Teacher, but why are they doing this?
Inna exclaimed with sincere incomprehension.
Because they feed on our emotions,
answered the sage, simply, as if he was talking about some absolutely ordinary and self-evident things.
People should feel certain emotions. That's why planets create special situations for us. And these emotions are fed by planets, moon, different evil spirits. That is why our task is to see this whole system, to try, at least for a while, to get out from under the lower influence and to get under the higher one. Higher influences will make us smarter, we will be able to see very clearly the essence of what is happening, and then we will be able to get out of the influence of ordinary planets for a long time.
When the teacher finished, Max raised his hand. A broad-faced, stocky man who had already participated in the dialogue, but was about to ask a question that had arisen during the conversation.
Teacher, you say that God is like a generalissimo and that we should try to become closer to generals to become their assistants?
The student hesitated and stopped speaking, choosing the best words.
But is that possible in life? In the same army? There is a very clear hierarchy, and a simple soldier, even if he wants to change something, he cannot jump over the senior in rank. Even if he wants to make something rational, he will just be laughed at and dismissed at best, told that officers know better what should be done, and at worst, even punished. How to deal with this situation?
Max, it also depends on the type of community. You have to look at the type of community, because each of them is under the influence of different planets. For example, politicians are under the influence of Jupiter, military under the influence of Mars, scientists under the influence of Saturn, fashion designers under the influence of Venus.
And spiritual communities? Different religious communities, for example? What influence are they under?
The student asked the next question.
Each spiritual community is also under its own planetary influence,
the sage explained.
Among spiritual people, there are more advanced groups that are under the influence of laws of a higher order, and there are those that are under the influence of laws of a lower order. That is, each group has its own egregore. For example, the groups that are interested in UFOs, different spirits, Loch Ness monster, reptiloids, are under lower influences. That's a low level of interest. And there are groups who study Gurdjieff, Osho, Aurobindo. These are higher level groups.
It's like the proverb. You'll get it from whoever you get it from, won't you?
The man said, an ironic smile tugging at his lips.
I mean, what group of people we join, that's the influence we start to fall under, isn't it?
The teacher smiled too.
That's right. That's why we have to make a conscious choice of which group to join.
And how not to commit a mistake?
Catherine asked with keen interest.
You have to set higher goals.
The wise man answered without hesitation.
And then you will be influenced by those groups that are at a higher level. For example, we have a goal to learn how life works, what it consists of, what influences a person. And so we start looking for those people who are also looking for answers to these questions. We find such people, join them, get under a higher influence, and then we start to get smart quickly. We feel good. We understand what is going on.
And if you can't find such a group?
Nelly looked questioningly at the sage.
For example, a person lives in a small town, and there is nothing like that there. What should he do?
So you have to go beyond the boundaries of your city,
replied the keeper of knowledge.
For example, Gurdjieff traveled all over the East. Why do you think he traveled all over the East?
The teacher returned his pupil's questioning look, though the answer to the question was already on the surface.
Was he looking for such high-level groups?
The girl answered doubtfully.
Yes, because he was looking for people who were under high influence. He looked for spiritual schools, and when he found one, he learned from each school, took something good from it, and finally he found the highest school, where Christ studied from the age of 12 to 30.
It still exists?
Inna was amazed, not hiding her emotions. The sage shook his head enigmatically, not answering this question directly, but continuing his explanation.
Gurdjieff found it, the Sunmin Brotherhood. And there, everything was explained to him to the end. So one should also strive to look for people who are under the highest influence. If we have found this group of people, we can begin to develop quickly there, to become smarter, to receive the most sublime emotions. And if we are indiscriminate, so as to think, where life has thrown us, there we are. Then what will happen? If we end up among people who do not want anything, who poison themselves with alcohol and drugs, who do not want to develop. What kind of wisdom can be acquired there? We can't have a better life because we are at the very bottom with the dregs of society. This needs to be realized and look for groups of people who are under a higher influence.
Teacher, can you tell me more about what high influence is and what kind of influence it is?
Nelly asked.
On the Earth level, a human being is involved in the usual circle of Earth events,
said the Keeper of Knowledge.
A person is born, grows up, goes to kindergarten, school, technical school, institute, then goes to work, starts a family, gives birth to children, then grows old, gets sick, and dies. This is the normal course of events. Such an ordinary course of events is determined by the 48th order of the laws, and this course of events brings a human being into frames, makes him or her form masks, roles, false personalities. Man becomes imprisoned. He is bound by these frames. He does not realize that he is actually only fulfilling the programs of society laid in him. But if a man understands this and realizes that such a life is meaningless, he can come under a higher influence. First, he can develop his essence and get rid of false personalities. Then he will come under the influence of the 24th order of the laws of the planet. If he develops further, he will be able to form an individuality and come under the 12 laws of the sun. This influence can give, for example, the energy of creativity. Therefore, under the influence of the sun are creative people who are engaged in poetry, art, music. This is already another destiny, another life. They already create something good. They are engaged in creation. If we go higher, we fall under the influence of the sixth order of the laws of the galaxy. For example, it can be already the influence of religious figures who brought something new into the world, who were engaged in enlightening people. If we rise even higher, we will come under the influence of the third order of laws. At the level of metagalaxies, we should strive for higher influences, the most spiritual influences.
While listening to the teacher, Nelly was thinking at the same time, trying to let the information pass through her, to understand what level she was on. Whether she herself had to feel this energy of a higher order and to get out from under the earth laws. Her expression changed several times on her face, and at the end, when the sage finished speaking, Nelly raised her hand again.
Master, thank you,
she said quietly, her voice trembling slightly, giving away her strong emotions.
Right now I felt that I have no culture of relationship with the sun, with the planets at all. I mean, the sun rises and sets, and you are immersed in the constant bustle, and you don't see anything in this shell. You don't appreciate the sun, and you don't thank it. But it gives us both physical life and spiritual energy. And, in fact, to come under the influence of the sun or the metagalactic, you need to consciously tune into it. To be open to this influence, to experience sublime emotions more often, to form a high goal. Right, teacher? We need to educate ourselves?
When Nelly finished speaking, tears of realization and purification glistened in her eyes. The sage, seeing this, looked at his disciple with kindness, acceptance, and love.
Yes, it is necessary to educate,
he said softly,
to observe ourselves and notice these influences. Aha! Now the sun has gone. Now the moon is influencing us. Now Mars, Saturn. If we would observe ourselves more often and see all the processes that are going on in us, we would be able to own them. But when a person is blind, he does not understand what is happening in him. He cannot realize it. Then any influence can easily affect him, because he does not realize that it is an influence. He thinks, I am the one who is like this. For example, the thought comes, take a knife and go to take revenge on my offender. And a person thinks that this is the right thought, and he cannot do otherwise. And he gives in to this bad aspect of the planet, to this influence, takes a knife and takes revenge. They said something offensive to me. How could I do otherwise? That is, he is completely identified with these processes and influences. But if he has a distance, if he sees, oh, this is the mechanism that works in me, then he becomes free from it. Then the person remembers in time, oh, I intended to deal with myself. And then this negative influence of an aspect, square, bad planet, overlaps, and a person can cope with it. If we do not set up in advance in such a way, we cannot cope, and we become pawns in the hands of aspect and planets.
Antonia asked the next question. Her soft but energetic voice sounded a smooth, melodious shimmer in the silence.
Master, does it mean to get out from the influence of planets to realize oneself as Atman?
She asked, penetratingly, looking at the sage.
To feel the divine particle in yourself, and then you will rise above the lower influences. Atman is a connection with the highest absolute, isn't it? And if you realize yourself as him, then you come under his influence, under the influence of the Generalissimo, right?
Yes, that's right.
Confirmed the Keeper of Knowledge.
This means that we are already under the influence of God. That is why it is necessary to observe ourselves. If we observe, if we are not identified, we become closer to the Atman, closer to the influence of the Supreme God. As soon as we identify with something, we immediately fall under the lower influence. What we identify with, we fall under that influence.
At that moment, Nicholas raised his hand, showing his desire to ask another question.
Dear teacher, but if negative influences on a person come through our environment, then it turns out that the sooner we get out from under parental care, the better. Does this mean that everyone should strive to separate from their parents and live their own life as soon as possible?
Of course.
The sage answered unequivocally.
Any person who has achieved something in life gets out from under the influence of relatives and parents very early. Why, for example, is civilization more developed in the West than in the East? Because in the East it is customary to listen to elders unconditionally.
But is it bad in itself?
Nicholas asked doubtfully.
If people respect their elders?
It is not bad in itself to treat elders with respect. What is bad is mindlessly listening to everything they say and taking it as a guide to action. In the East, the age hierarchy is very strong. For example, if I am a younger brother, I have to listen to my older brother, even if he is not smart. I must listen to my father, even if he gets drunk every day, and apart from that, sees nothing in life. I have to listen to my grandfather just because he is older, even if he has senile dementia. And it turns out that if you want to do something good and right, it becomes impossible to do it because of these older people. This is not the case in the West. There a child grows up and as soon as he turns 18, moves out and starts living independently. That's why progress is more developed there, and there are more successful people. They get out from under the influence of their inner circle early. But in our country, it is customary to live with parents until 30 or more. And all this time, the influence of society's programs and the planting of false personalities continues.
After hearing the sage's answer, Nicholas nodded gratefully. Meanwhile, Helen had already raised her hand and was about to ask a new question.
Teacher, you said that the sun gives us good influence and the moon gives us negative influence, negative emotions. Is it possible to say that the one who has the sun strongly manifested in his horoscope will be a better person than the one who has the moon manifested in his horoscope?
No, not exactly. So
the teacher shook his head negatively and, helping himself with gestures, began to answer the question in detail.
When we say that the moon is a negative influence and the sun is a positive one, We are talking about the ray of creation.
The sage turned to the canvas hanging on the wall and pointed to the image.
The ray of creation descends down from the absolute to the level of the moon. It turns out that the energy of God passes through the level of metagalaxies, then to galaxies, further then through the level of the sun, through the level of planets, the level of the earth, and then the moon. And at each level, man receives even more influences and conditions. And in astrology, we look not in volume, but on a plane. Everything becomes on one level. Sun, moon, and planets are practically on the same level. Therefore, the cosmogram shows one level of influence. Therefore, it is necessary to understand that astrology is one thing, and the ray of creation is quite another.
Wise, can you give me an example?
Catherine asked.
How does it work?
Good.
The keeper of knowledge readily agreed.
For example, if a person's cosmogram shows the influence of the moon, it does not mean that it will be negative. On the contrary, the moon can be in the cosmogram in a very good house. And if the sun is highlighted in bad aspects, if it is weak, it can have negative influence in our cosmogram, because it is not the ray of creation.
The student's eyes sparkled with understanding, and she thoughtfully folded her hands on her chest, looking at the canvas with the ray of creation depicted on it.
Teacher, but I've been wanting to ask you for a long time.
Catherine spoke again, having gathered her thoughts.
There are new planets, Neptune, Pluto, Uranus. They were discovered relatively recently. Has their influence not been counted before and not extended to people?
The sage smiled enigmatically.
Actually, they were discovered a long time ago.
He spoke with a note of mystery in his voice.
Even the ancient Persians and Babylonians knew these planets. Yes, they were known by slightly different names, but they were the same planets. They just looked at them, not through telescopes, but with the help of the third eye. And in this way, people knew what aspects there were, what influences would come.
Teacher, why can't people see with the third eye now?
Catherine shrugged her shoulders in bewilderment.
They were people of high spiritual level, and they stopped incarnating on Earth. Or they became very few, and so these planets were forgotten. And only when mankind was able to make more powerful telescopes, it became possible to rediscover these planets.
And if it is so, then maybe there are such planets that people have not discovered yet, because they do not have the technical capabilities?
Antonia suggested, leaning forward to catch the sage's gaze.
Of course.
He smiled the way a parent smiles when he hears a child's direct question.
There are many more planets, which are mentioned in the ancient Avestan astrology, but they have not been discovered yet.
And if people don't know about them, then there is no influence from them?
Even if people don't know about them, the influence is still there. And it's possible to calculate this influence with the help of astrology.
Great teacher. They say that one can attune to the spirits of planets or totems to get the necessary qualities. Is it true?
Catherine asked with growing enthusiasm.
Each god, each planet, or totem transmits its own quality.
The sage said weightily.
For example, if a person lacks activity, he is tuned to Mars. If he lacks austerity, he is tuned to Saturn.
But why do it? When you can tune into the teacher and get the necessary qualities directly?
Antonia continued the topic.
The teacher gives another quality to a person, awareness. He promotes awakening. Such quality is not given by planets, but it is also useful to tune in to them, to gods, totems, spirits, stars. Everything has its own influence, and at some moment it can be more significant or stronger than, for example, from a teacher or even from God. That is why one should look at the situation, at the circumstances. What is better to tune in to at a given moment in order to receive the necessary influence?
Great sage, but it turns out that God influences man not directly, but through these levels.
Antonia waved her hand towards the canvas with the ray of creation depicted on it.
It turns out that its influence is refracted. Does it work the same way in reverse? For example, If we speak to God directly, can he hear and see us?
God is greater than the greater and less than the lesser,
the sage said, majestically.
That is, he is in everything at the same time, and in us too. We are made up of God. That is why he feels everything and knows everything that happens to us.
The sage paused, choosing the most appropriate words to explain.
But when we turn to God, we often fail to tune in correctly. Each person understands something different by God. For example, God can be understood as the spirit of an egregore.
Antonia waited until the keeper paused again and raised her hand.
Beloved teacher, I noticed that in the Bible it often says, Abraham cried out to his God. It turns out that he cried out practically to the spirit of the egregore, not to the absolute. Why, God should be only the God of Abraham, Isaac. It is not some personal property of them.
Yes, that's a valuable observation.
The sage nodded.
The point is that Abraham and the others, they appeal to the egregore, calling it God. But this egregore really helps them to deal with some enemies. The absolute could never do such a thing. But the spirit of the Jewish egregore, to which they appealed, helps to do it.
But is it possible to tune into the absolute when praying?
It is possible. But for this, you have to have a very pure state to tune into the absolute God. It is difficult. So often a person tunes to some egregores, to the forces of elements, to planetary forces, to the sun. A person should meditate for a very long time to learn to tune to the absolute, to be in a very pure, realized state.
The teacher finished and again looked at the students gathered in the temple with an attentive gaze, waiting for new questions. This time, a skinny red-haired student named Radha raised her hand.
Wise one,
she said respectfully.
Can I ask about false identities? How harmful and destructive are they all?
She hesitated, hurriedly thinking how to express her thought better.
I mean, for example, if a person under the influence of society wants to be successful, to earn money, to buy an apartment, a car, he starts making efforts, becomes a businessman. Is that always bad? But it's not so easy to earn money. You have to turn on your brains, to think, to move to the intellectual parts of the centers. And this is also a certain growth. So what I mean is that without effort, you cannot succeed in society. But this is also development, isn't it? But it's obviously a false identity. That is, on the one hand, it is necessary to get rid of it. And on the other hand, it is a springboard to develop good, right qualities and achieve something.
Radha finished and looked questioningly at the keeper.
Teacher, help me to understand this.
Of course, there can be a positive influence,
the sage said in response.
But it is very important that a person does not identify with his role as a businessman, so that he realizes that it is only a role and not himself. If a person is stimulated to work on the intellectual parts of the centers, to learn new things, this is good. In the beginning, in any business, interest and emotions arise first. First, the emotional part of the centers of the essence is connected, then the intellectual part. In the beginning, there is always growth while a person is mastering a profession. But as soon as he has mastered a profession, everything begins to happen mechanically, and the intellectual parts do not work anymore. There is a transition to automatism, and mechanical existence begins. That is why Gurdjieff was constantly changing professions. He would master one profession, and as soon as he had mastered it at a high enough level, he would leave it and go on to the next profession. That is why it is necessary to change profession, to change type of activity, to master something more complicated. And then there will be constant development, because even a businessman, sooner or later, reaches his ceiling when everything becomes mechanical. And that's it. His growth stops. And if he stays stuck in the false identity of a businessman, does not see that it is not him, identifies with it, then his degradation begins.
Thank you for your explanations, Great One.
Radha thanked him reverently and stepped back a little, making way for the other students who wanted to ask their questions. A curly-haired, dark-haired woman in a white light dress that fell down in beautiful folds stepped forward.
Master, how does this ray of creation correlate with the hydrogen scale?
She asked in a confident, sonorous voice.
I tried to compare it. The highest emotional center is the sixth hydrogen, H6. It turns out that if the intellectual parts of the centers are the 12th order of the laws, then coming to the highest emotional center, you become under the sixth order of the laws, because it is on the sixth hydrogen. And accordingly, the highest intellectual center is H3. And Atman already belongs to H1. And it turns out that if we live on the higher intellectual and higher emotional centers, then we become under a higher order of laws. Do I understand it correctly? Is it possible to make such a correlation between the centers and the order of the laws that influence us?
Yes, Natalie, well done. Such a correlation really exists.
The sage said approvingly.
It turns out that on which hydrogen a person mainly acts, it is in it that he prevails. He stays on such a level. If everything in a person is mechanical, on false personality, then a person lives on mechanical parts of centers. First of all, it is the mechanical part of the intellectual center. Such a person exists on the lowest hydrogen, and the 48th order of the laws acts on him. And if a person develops his essence, then the instinctive center develops in him. He already goes higher, and H24 begins to prevail. If a person already develops individuality, then H12 begins to prevail, and so on. That is, which hydrogen prevails, that is the level we are at.
Inna asked the next question again. For a long time, the girl had been listening to the sage thoughtfully, penetrating into the essence of his words. And now she decided to join the conversation again.
And here, also about the formation of roles.
The student began her question.
We are just now compiling a repertoire of our roles. It turns out that the role is formed by various influences, and we need not only to designate what kind of role it is, but also by whom it was created and when, in order to understand, to motivate ourselves to get out of this role. And if we understand when it was created and how, then we can more easily free ourselves from the laws that influence us through this role. Am I right?
Of course, it is imperative to look at where this role will take us, and that depends on the influences that have created it. For example, the role of a paratrooper is a compulsion created by a society that wages wars. Society benefits from people becoming soldiers and going to fight for the government, from dying for the ideals they have been indoctrinated with, from being put in bad conditions. If we can see who created this role, why it was created, then we can better visualize what we will get in the end.
Thank you for the clarification,
Inna said.
Now it was clearer what to do when studying and writing out your roles.
It was obvious that the student was full of inspiration and ready to start the practical activity again, to continue observing herself, writing out and studying her roles that society had created. And at this point, the next question was already being asked.
Master, if we as students become under your influence, and if we listen to you, what order of the laws acts on us?
Natalie asked.
You can rise very high, but a lot depends on you. To be influenced by the master means to understand, to see, and to be awakened. But not everyone wants to understand everything as master does. Not everyone wants to be truly awakened, to be in sublime emotions, to come under the high influences. If you are not lazy, if you do your practices, you will be able to live on the higher emotional and higher intellectual centers very soon. If you think, no, I should rest more often, I cannot do this, it is hard for me, why do I need all this? Then a person will not receive the proper influence from the teacher. He as if hides from this influence and receives it in some very weak degree. Therefore, to be under the influence of the master, one should greedily absorb knowledge, develop understanding, cultivate sublime emotions, do everything the master says, then one really becomes under his influence.
At that moment, Max raised his hand resolutely, intending to ask a question about what the sage had just said.
Master, so it turns out that even being close to the master and attending regular lectures, many people still live according to the laws of false personality? Does it mean that the same 48th order of laws is in force? Because a person lives the same personality, has some attachments, leaves old habits. Yes, there is a teacher, but many do not go up to him, not even to the essence.
Yes, many people continue to live under false personalities,
the keeper said calmly, and there was a subtle regret in his voice.
Because people remember what they were told as children, because they can't let go of the bad habits that society has instilled in them. People live under them, because in order to get out from under this influence, it is necessary not only to listen to what the teacher says, but also to do practices, to overcome oneself, to make efforts. It is not so easy to get out from under the influence of false personalities. It is inherent in man to cling to his own roles, to masks. He identifies with them, and it is very difficult to tear it off. But all of you have a great chance to get out from under these influences, to go towards God, to develop spirituality, and to become under the influence of a higher order of laws.
Does it mean that a person clings to his personality, and therefore nothing changes in his life?
Clarified the student.
That is, this personality is like a mirror. The whole world is your reflection. It is the same when a person lives in a society. He wonders why the same events happen. I fought it. Why did it come to me again? Is it because it is attracted to the personality? In the same way, we come to the guru with our personality and the same thing happens with it.
Of course, the person clings to his false personality and everything repeats itself. The person says, I am struggling with life and nothing works and everything goes in circles. And all the time, the same problems. And why doesn't it work? Because instead of getting rid of these influences, he holds on to them. For example, one student wrote to me that she took a child from an orphanage, and now she sees that he is growing up to be a criminal. She asked me for advice on what to do. Do you know what I advised her?
The teacher looked at the pupils expectantly, asking them to think and think of their own answers. The pupils froze in thought, but before any of them dared to speak, he answered himself.
I advised her to give him back.
There was silence in the hall. The sage waited for a few seconds, allowing the students to fully comprehend what he had said.
Then I received the next letter, and this woman started saying, "How can I give him back? I took him, I fed him, I gave him water. Now he is my child." That is, it turns out that a person puts on the mask of a mother and is so fused with it that he stubbornly holds on to these chains. Even when the person sees that everything is going wrong, even when he has already been shown the way to free himself, shown the way out. But no, the person continues to hold on to this false identity.
There was a murmur in the hall. The students, excited by what they had heard, began to talk quietly, expressing their attitudes towards their master's words.
But is that a good deed, to return the child back to the orphanage?
Antonia finally asked, and all the students froze again, waiting for the sage's answer.
Isn't it against the norms of morality?
Morality makes a man rigid.
Keeper replied with calm confidence.
He is told, this is good, and this is bad. And man is conditioned by these laws. These laws become his programs. For example, if a child does something not according to the morals of his parents, he is immediately stigmatized and put in a corner. And he already develops a complex, a fear. He is afraid to break this program, to go beyond its limits. but the person does not understand where this fear comes from. He cannot realize that this fear was formed, for example, because his parents punished him in childhood for something. And it turns out that a person can no longer transcend a certain morality that was instilled in him, even when it is necessary to do it in order to free himself from the false identity. And maybe even his parents are no longer alive, but he continues to carry out these programs. He continues to be afraid to say an unnecessary word, afraid that he will be looked down upon, judged for something. He depends on the opinion of people he doesn't even know.
Teacher, do I understand correctly that each false personality has its own morality? And this morality can be different. One person has one morality, and another has another?
Catherine joined the conversation.
Yes, that's right.
Laconically answered, the sage.
That's the way it is.
And here, we recently had a practice of disidentification, and we danced a drunken man's dance.
Catherine began to tell, recalling her impressions from the practice.
And I was observing myself and realized that there is a certain point that you pass, and that's it. Then you don't understand whether it's decent or not to act this way, and you don't care what other people think.
So when we dance the dance of a drunk or the dance of a madman, we begin to work through these complexes. We show ourselves unconventionally, as it is not accepted in society. We consciously break the rules and prohibitions, and then we become freer, more liberated.
Does it turn out that a drunk or crazy person behaves so freely because his false personality is also switched off?
Of course. The same person, drunk and sober, are different people. Usually sober people are so complex, so influenced by false personalities, that they cannot afford to express themselves freely. For example, a sober person may be inhibited, afraid of everything. At work, his boss scolds him. At home, his wife nags him that he earns little, calls him a loser. But in a drunken state, a person feels like a hero. All restrictions, all false identities fall from him. And a drunken person becomes so liberated, smashing, cheerful. He can shout loudly, laugh. He can afford to raise his voice.
But you don't have to get drunk to loosen up,
Nicholas said emotionally.
Not necessarily.
The sage smiled back.
That is why we are practicing the drunken dance. A drunk person's false personality starts to shut down. Those parts of the brain where this false personality is located stop functioning. Only the lower parts of the brain remain. And that is why the person becomes so free. It's the same with the insane. I've been in a mental hospital and I've seen how freely people behave. Somebody is frog hopping. Somebody is screaming. Somebody is talking to objects. They behave very freely. They don't think about what others will say about them.
Because they, too, have damaged parts of their brain that contain the false personality?
That's right. That's why the crazy man's dance came about. We dance it and we become liberated, free. We behave unconventionally, and the false personality is gradually destroyed with its fears, complexes, clamps. And accordingly, the laws that restrained us and held on these complexes and fears are destroyed. These laws are not only in the head, but also on the physical, bodily level. Clutches, fears, they must come out of us. Stop constraining our body. That is, it is not enough just to think, here, I am not free. I am under the influence of complexes. We need to start taking action. You have to start manifesting in such a way that you feel free, so that the clutches disappear on the physical level.
Teacher? And in the case of mother's duty?
Natalie asked with some doubt.
So, the woman really should have returned the child back to the orphanage? What about our desire to do good deeds?
I will give you a simple example.
The sage answered softly.
A man holds on to a big rock and goes down. They say to him, "So let go of this stone, and you will float to the surface at once." but he doesn't want to let go. He keeps saying the same thing. No, I need the stone. How can I do without it? I've been taught that it's the meaning of life. I can't let it go. And so he goes down with this stone. The same happens with a person who clings to his false identities and is afraid to part with them, to separate from them. He thinks, how will I stop being this false personality? How will I part with it? Because I have to fulfill my maternal duty. And it turns out that next to this, mother grows a juvenile delinquent, and she can do nothing to change it. She has no strength and energy to bring up her child normally, and it certainly doesn't make anyone better.
Teacher, if the false personalities of the crazy people are switched off, then they have an easier life, because the 24th order of the laws already applies to them?
Yes, of course it is easier. Crazy people are not included in the social game. They behave freely. Jumping, running, writing on the walls, singing songs. They are not included in the social game. They don't think about how to become a mother or a father of a family, how to become a paratrooper and go to war. All this does not exist for them. But man becomes freer, not because he has become higher. He has become lower, and his soul does not develop because he has sunk closer to animal nature. The same can be said of drunkards and drug addicts. Why are people attracted to drunkenness and drugs? Because they want to feel this freedom. Once the false personality is switched off, the animal nature is strengthened. But we have to go higher, to be more realized, more awakened. We have to set higher goals, and through this, we become more free, become under a less order of laws.
Master, and to get under the level of the absolute, what goals should we set?
Antonia asked.
We should strive to help not only ourselves, but also other people,
said the sage.
You know, in Buddhism, there is such a concept as the Bodhisattva vow. This is a very good example of what a high goal can be.
Wise one, what is this vow?
Catherine asked.
Please tell me more about it.
The Bodhisattva made a vow that he would not leave the circle of samsara until the stones became enlightened. And now his soul is constantly incarnating and incarnating on earth, although it should have left the circle of samsara long ago and gone to the subtle worlds. This is how high a goal can be. To help all people to develop spiritually, to receive knowledge, to become more enlightened. And if a person sets a goal of a universal scale, then the Absolute takes him under its patronage, relieves us from the influence of many laws that suffocate and limit us. If we go beyond our usual tasks and set a goal for ourselves to realize God and then to help others to do it, then we can become that very assistant of the Generalissimo.
The sage finished, summarizing in his own words the long and difficult spiritual conversation. Today, the disciples were dealing with a difficult subject. They had to think and imagine a lot, to go beyond the boundaries of their usual worldview, letting the knowledge pass through them. The students were very active. They asked questions and tried to penetrate into the essence of the topic as deeply as possible. And now their eyes were shining with the joy of the received realizations and the desire to continue working on themselves in practice. The sage smiled, sending pure energy of love and support to his disciples, and, according to tradition, ended the talk with lines of a spiritual poem.
You are sitting on the ground like a sphinx impersonated. One can't live in the world from everything isolated. Accept the whole world, looking at it with no bounds. Just reject yourself, wanting to renounce. You increase good merit if your actions never come to an end. Listen, I will tell you, as I would to a friend. Understand, You are a contemplator, not a creator. Why do you thrive to be the good of transient flesh celebrator? Know this. Those who have the awakening attained have first from their delusions restrained. The basis of freedom is in the universe to cherish, in the single consciousness of the essence that won't perish.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.